And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is a beautiful day downtown. Yeah, a little bit different than what we're accustomed to. No, we're not going through roll call and covering Rutherford County and East Nashville and Bellevue. Elijah Campbell's back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, but we are actually out together. The show has not been, in fact, have the three of us been together?
I don't believe so.
I was going to say, when we did the Bridgestone Arena, what were we calling that?
It was just two of us.
Qualifying camp, or I don't even know.
Summer camp.
Summer camp, qualifying camp, band camp, whatever we were calling it.
The band was sort of back together at band camp, but it was, not fully.
Yeah, it was not the three of us. And so this is the first time in 6 months the three of us have done the show together. We're here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. We're no stranger to this place. We're actually out on the patio. It's a little humid. It's a beautiful day.
It's not that bad, though. This is better than yesterday. Yesterday was a little... It's not supposed to be as hot today. I feel like we're going to have some shade. I'm worried about maybe as we get closer to noon, we could get some... We might get the farmer's tan.
Well, that won't be
but
the
we got to do what we got to do.
Or the last time that I've had the farmer's tan.
Oh, I've currently got the farmer's tan. This will only enhance it.
So they have reopened Pete and Terry's Tavern, and we're excited about that. And if you're looking for a lunch spot today, this is your place. We just said it. It's a beautiful day. If you're out and about downtown, stop in here. They've got great food, and we'll get you all the particulars here very soon. But this will be a nice place to come here, hang out. We'll be doing the show out here on the patio, and you can eat out here with us. Got fans up top. We'll try to stay cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good to be back. And, you know, when I went through airport security to get back in this morning, I got everything set up. It was good to see the crew here at Pete and Terry's.
Did you get patted down?
I did. Patted down, you know, gave a social security number and mother's maiden name, all that stuff. So, but.
You're going to have a new we all have to have a new driver's license, right, next month to fly?
They've moved it. Because of COVID.
I
think they've pushed that to next year.
Oh, so I thought it was next month.
It was supposed to be. Funny story about that. So I get a text from Ricky the other day, and he goes, I just got my new driver's license. And let me just tell you, don't go to Tennessee Tower to do it, because they're letting people like two at a time in. So it took him forever. There was a line out the door. And I said, yeah, that's good to know. I usually just go to the library, like at a kiosk, but did you get the one with the star?
And he didn't. He didn't.
Silence.
Oh, no. Why aren't they telling people that?
Well, they are, but he said that you have to have, like, two forms of address verification. So you have to have, like, your ID that has your address on it, and then, like, a pay stub or something.
And what is this supposed to do again? I don't think I've done enough reading on it.
I honestly don't know. I'm not going to.
Like, I know you have to have it to fly at some point.
It's supposed to add some extra level of security.
Does that mean that we take out the security or no?
No, it's just, I don't know. It's supposed to be some extra layer.
Okay.
Is how I understand
So basically, you know about as much as I do.
Yes.
We know that's supposed to happen at some point. Although you knew more than me, I thought it was supposed to be starting next month.
No, they moved it because of COVID. But I know that it's Friday, and I'm glad to see you guys again. And
you guys just talked about something I have no idea.
It was like, I have no idea.
I'm supposed to get another driver's license? What? I have no idea.
That's
my picture is a little outdated.
Where'd you go?
I don't know.
I can hear you.
I don't hear my. Okay, there I am.
Yeah,
it's going to be one of those.
Okay, we'll have to talk about this off there. You guys can bring me up to speed. I got some catching up to do, apparently.
Wow,
I got a blind spot somewhere.
We offer nothing on that topic. Absolutely nothing. Other than we think that we don't even have that confirmed. We're just going on Chase's word that it's been extended to 2021.
Here,
supposedly. Maybe. According to a source.
Yes, Google. So far, not so good, because I'm still seeing October. Oh, yeah, here we go. October 1st, 2021.
Oh, so they moved it to a full year.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Willie, what do you care? I mean, you got nothing to worry about.
There's plenty of time.
You got a year. This is like, hey, we've just assigned you a school project. It's due in a year. Who's going home that day to start? Not I.
The Real ID Act of 2005 establishes minimum security standards for license issuance and production and prohibits federal agencies from accepting, for certain purposes, driver's license and identification cards from states not meeting the act's minimum standards. Beginning October 1st, 2021, all persons must have a Real ID license for accessing certain federal buildings, entering nuclear facilities. So if we want to go to Oak Ridge, we're going to need that.
Okay.
And boarding commercial
flights. My mom went to Oak Ridge High. So I've been to Oak Ridge many times.
Been through there.
I don't think they know me, though.
No, probably not.
I know.
Hey, my grandfather worked here at this plant. Can I get in?
They'd probably be like, hey, you're the guy from the TV.
Your grandfather worked here, didn't he? Come on in.
We've interviewed guys from the Oak Ridge Boys.
We have. Maybe that'll help us.
I don't think we've interviewed anybody
from
Oak Ridge.
Former Nashville Sounds minority owner Richard Sturban.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Big baseball fan.
See, he is. You didn't think
is
I knew
he a
that,
part
did
of
you?
The? Is he a part of the Nashville Stars group?
I would be surprised if he wasn't. I got to believe. I don't know that, though.
I think I have a Richard Sturban bobblehead.
I think I do, too.
Sounds bobblehead.
Somewhere.
He is such a great guy. I remember at remember we used to do the 4th of July thing every year? Darren, we would be down there, just the masses of people we would do. We were like, why are we here? All these country music fans, why are the sports guys here? But we were just sitting around backstage. We'd go up, we'd take turns going up introducing people. And the Oak Ridge Boys came in one time, and I just remember Richard Sturban come back. The crowd's going crazy, they're singing.
Was that on your watch?
On my watch?
Yeah, because we had, shifts. Are you
We had shifts. I happened to be there when the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I introduced them. I introduced maybe the act before them, but I was hanging around back there, and they did their thing. I'm behind stage, and people are going crazy on the riverfront, and they're just lined up, shoulder to shoulder. Crowd goes crazy. They come off the stage, and Richard walks by George and I, and he goes, "You know what?" He's got that real deep voice.
Oh,
I can't do the voice. He goes, "You know what? Beat's working for a living." they've done that. I don't know how many thousand times. Crowd's going nuts. That was pretty cool.
They were living a pretty good life in the 80s. Yeah.
But this was this was, mid 2000s.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, in the 80s, they probably could tell a lot of stories. They were pretty darn big.
Oh, huge. Yeah.
Do you remember the Garth Brooks song, Callin' Baton Rouge? Huge hit for him. That's one of his signature songs. The Oak Ridge Boys actually had the original cut on that. So there's an Oak Ridge Boys version of that song.
Oh, wow.
It's a little different from the way Garth did it, but
that was one of those deals that Willie's talking about that we got roped into, which was cool because there were thousands upon thousands of people drinking, waiting for fireworks in about 6 hours. But what was interesting, Chase, is we would go out on stage and do this stuff. Nobody had a clue.
That was what was funny.
Nor did they care.
They're like, it's Willie and Darren from the sports show. Everybody's like, yeah, okay. Tell us who's coming up next. Come on. Is it dark yet? Let's get the fireworks going. Let's go.
Who's the next band? What are you guys doing?
You know who was there that very night that I was there? And I can't remember if I actually, I think I, with a group of people was sort of introduced, but Taylor Swift was there. She was only 18 or 19 years old at that time. She was the, hey, watch out for this girl. She's a rising star. I was like, oh, okay, great. Little did I know.
Well, I was doing remember the hour with Terry Crisp? What was it, on Thursdays, the hockey hour?
Yeah.
With Crispy? We happened to be doing the show at Wild Horse that day, and that was right before the bowl game. And Crispy was on his way there. It was right before the show. I'm sitting at the table. This young lady walks up, pretty young lady, and she's very nice. She's like, hello, sir. I'm here for the interview. And I was like, interview? She's like, yeah, I'm supposed to do an interview with you. And I was like, this is a sports show. We're getting ready to do a hockey hour. She's like, maybe I'm not supposed to be here. And so she walks away. I get up. Like I said, a few more minutes before we start, Crispy's about to walk in. I go to the restroom there in Wild Horse, and right as I'm getting ready to go in the restroom, there's a big picture, and it's of the girl that I just came up to the table.
And a big poster?
Her name was – so I get back. I call Lauren, who's now my wife.
Yeah.
Was not then. And
she
I
knows.
Said,
she knows this.
She knows the country music scene. I said, "Have you ever heard of Taylor Swift?" She's like, "Yeah, she's a young up and coming. She lives here. She's a is for. She was supposed to be doing it with KDF, our sister station, where we were. And she's like, "Yeah, she's young, she's up and comer. She's probably going to be big." And I was like, "Huh." Well, she just came up to me at the table. She thought I was supposed to interview her. I was like, "Taylor Swift.
You should have said, come on in."
You know that she. She and Robbie knew each other, Robbie Stanley, because Robbie...
She was up in Hendersonville, right?
Yeah, Robbie played baseball with her brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her family lived up in Hendersonville. In fact, I think that... that time frame
was
when she was in Hendersonville.
Listen to us name dropping today. We're just all about name dropping today.
Do you remember that... And I can't remember if Sean... was here yet. I think this was might have been right before Sean got here, but Taylor Swift did some Predators commercials. She did the...
She comes to a lot of games.
It just stays with you. When that
she
was
used
the,
to come with like a bunch of artists, right? And they'd all sit together. They'd get shown on the Jumbotron all the time.
Well, there's a famous picture of... Is it Kelly Pickler, Taylor Swift,
yes.
And who's the third
Carrie
one?
Carrie Underwood.
Is she the third one in that picture? Really?
I don't think she had met Mike yet, or it wasn't.
Think about
public
the star
yet.
Power of that.
That's not ringing a bell for me. Either way, there's three.
Who knows? Kelly Pickler at that time may have been the most popular one.
Maybe, but they it was three.
Time.
But you know they were stars, and they were sitting there.
She's a big hockey fan.
But they were rooting for the Predators that particular night, and it was a great comeback win. The 2-2 whistles were going. 2-2 actually scored. The go-ahead goal in
he
that
did.
Game. It was against Columbus, if I recall. And that was a memorable night.
All right, let's step away. The president and CEO is
we're going to name drop again. We got Sean Henry coming on.
Let's name drop Sean Henry in the on-deck circle. We'll take we'll get some stories from him on the other side.
He can drop a few names.
Darren Donick and
he's
Chase.
Got some people.
ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live outside on the patio, as you can hear the garbage truck go by, downtown, here at Pete
Stuff's
and Terry's Tavern.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on. Beautiful day here in downtown Nashville.
I think I saw that the Hall of Fame is back open. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that is right. That is a lot of things open up, including Pete and Terry's Tavern. So if you are looking for a place to grab a bite to eat today, come hang out with us. Really nice day, and... Sean Henry, president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, has decided to come hang out with us. Sean, you have stories to tell. We know that.
I tell no stories.
By the way,
I am a non-loose lip guy, man. Especially after hearing those admissions you guys were making.
I know. Sean walks up to us and he's like, "You guys have to be the dumbest show ever.
Yeah.
You guys don't know anything." I was like, "Yeah. When it comes to that stuff, we know our lane, man. We stay in our lane."
Well, you do a really good job of it, and I may have tweeted something to that effect, too.
Oh, really?
But it is good to be here. You know, thanks for being here, guys, because it's funny. Nashville is reopening slowly and in a pretty nice way. You see what people are doing. Willie mentioned the Hall of Fame, the Omni celebrating that today. You see the banners for opening day for the Titans around. It feels a little bit more normal. And, you know, with the spectacular weather on, you know, a day away, a week away, I think we're all going to be able to get outside downtown a little bit more than we were.
How is things, because we've kind of talked to you through these different stages of these 6 months, how have things progressed to today to where, let's say, the last time we talked to you behind the scenes? Is it the same? Is it different?
Well, I think it is different, and we could probably all answer that question the same and different ways. Not sound like Yogi Berra, but yeah, it's very different, yet it's all the same. I think the difference is more and more people are understanding what they can do to be part of safe openings. And more importantly, what we all need to do, regardless of what, you know, whether you're in school, going to work, trying to go out, what our responsibilities are. You know, what do we need to do? And there are a lot of simple things that we can all do to make everything a little bit more safe. And look at us right now.
Yep.
We're sitting outside on a show together, spread out quite a bit, and we can do that. We can do that at our house. We can do that at restaurants. And ideally, we're going to be able to do that at events in the near future, which should build a nice, safe pathway towards getting back to what we all do, and that's enjoying live events together.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part about what we all do. And I spent a lot of time working with other teams in our league and other leagues, and actually talking to a few people from Titans last night watching the Chiefs game. It's just so bizarre trying to do what we all do and limit attendance. Yeah. We're all wired,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
To bring people together. And, you know, we have a whole group working on things that we can do and make sure that we're, you know, staying out there as an organization. But when your business plan revolves around bringing people together, you know, you're hitting the brakes really hard and trying to pivot to a new place as we approach getting people back together in masses.
I know we're a sports show. We were actually dabbling and telling stories about some of the music industry. You're about getting people in Bridgestone Arena to watch a hockey team, but the other part of this is a guy like David Kells and that group that is constantly booking live acts and entertainment. This building has always got stuff going on. I feel really bad because we're all huge sports fans, but we're also huge music fans. That industry, at least we can watch sports. I mean, it may not be the way that we're used to seeing it, but at least it's taking place. Like the music industry, they don't have a whole lot. I feel bad the last 6 months for them.
Yeah, and you know, the whole touring industry obviously is just shut down for all practical purposes. And you mentioned David Kells, who does such an incredible job, that all the shows that we had scheduled were really just postponed, and there are probably three dates for each one, you know, moving forward. We have some dates next year that have five shows on it, figuring out, you know, the puzzle, how to put it back together. The saddest part about the tours not happening, we all miss and feel badly for the stars, but it's the literally hundreds of people on each show underneath that. You know, the tech group, sound, lights, video, so many of those companies are based right here in Nashville that are doing shows all over the world that there's a real story, underlying story. And then you have the independent music venues in our own town, you know, 20, 24 of them or so, that this is all they do, and they aren't a large corporation. And it really is tough. So everyone's getting very creative. You know, what can we do? How do we get people back together? For some venues, working on a third of the crowd is just not possible. It's just not plausible. Some of the things you're going to have to do operationally won't make sense. But you start to see a few things opening and a few more things opening. Hopefully we find a pathway of getting people together a little bit more safely, you know, as we approach, you know, vaccine and some different care. But it really does start with distance where you can, wear a mask even when you are in distancing, and then when you can't distance, wear a mask and be smart, be polite, be courteous. Because the more we do that, when it's not an argument, when it's just commonplace, we're going to get back to where we all want to be faster.
Yep. In fact, our on-site engineer in Barrel House is one of those guys. I mean, he's a musician, a drummer, and he's a guy that gets picked up in bands, and he does all these tours. But, you know, he's not a main guy. He's just a drummer that gets picked up and gets steady work. But last time I talked to him, he's like, I'm out of the business, and I'm not sure I'm going back. Like, what he did in Barrel House, that was just a side thing. Doing that was his main gig. And he's like, I don't even know if I'm going to go back into the music industry. I may just go down this path of out in the business world doing what I'm doing now.
And literally, there are thousands of people having that conversation with themselves right now. I was talking to Alan Valentine from the Symphony, name dropping, I'm joining the club. was just a really unique, fun guy. And he was talking about the same thing. There are going to be a lot of musicians that, unfortunately, have to get out of it. And you know, we're going to lose a big piece. Now, the others, hopefully that's an opportunity for more people to step forward.
We're talking to Sean Henry, President, CEO of the Nashville Predators. We're here at Pete and Terry's today, outside on the deck. Come on by for lunch. Things are opening back up little by little. Sean, it's been really exciting theater to watch the tournament. In the bubbles, it's just been so perfectly executed. It's so exciting. It's a shame the Predators aren't still in there, of course. But the league has got to be very, very happy with what they've been able to accomplish here. So much work went into that.
You know, it's really incredible. And you've been on a couple of calls with me. We had Steve Mayer on, who really produced the whole bubble and the show underneath the bubble, which has been phenomenal. And I think it really become a model of, you know, how you can do things. But I think the key to it is you had all 31 teams buy in, you know, from the owners to the executives, to hockey operations, right on down to every player and every support person with the team to say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do it safely. It's going to be inconvenient. But if we do it, we can do something pretty special. And the real key behind all that was we never put a date on it. Right? And that was the frustration. It was like, when? Mm-hmm. When are we coming back? And as much as you always want to have that date, the key was we're going to come back when it is the best possible time for us to come back. And I think it's worked out really well, with one exception. You talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not playing, but the games have been incredible. We always know that our playoffs are the best playoffs in all sports. But now we're seeing the playoffs with all the rosters healthy, or at least all the rosters starting healthy. And we've taken the best playoffs, and I think it's gone up a notch. And I hate to admit it, you know, whenever the playoffs start, and, you know, if we're not in the playoffs or we exit, you know, before you want to, I always say I'm not watching another game. I'm shutting it off. I don't care. Break my TV. And, you know, I pout and walk around the neighborhood. And then I don't miss 1 minute of one game. And I'm so glad, because they have been great. They really have been.
You know, I remember we were, just because we were in Toronto, we happened to be there when it all paused. And we were all just trying to wrap our arms around it. I just remember watching a couple hours of coverage, just sitting in the hotel. We were waiting to hear what was coming. And it was all starting to happen. And I have to say, Canada, they had some people on the air that they knew a little more what was coming than mm-hmm. I did at the time. I was like, oh, maybe shut down for a couple weeks. We'll be back. Because they're thinking, hey, this could be a while. This could be a couple months. I'm thinking, really? And there were some skeptics as we went forward that never thought that we'd be able to crown a champion, right? I mean, is that fair to say? There were a lot of people that did not think that you'd be able to get back and have a Stanley Cup winner. You thought it would be one of those years, those rare years where you have
blank cup, blank. Like, yeah. You know, 04, 05.
Yeah.
It's funny that the people that never thought we'd crown a champion were the same ones that were arguing that, why are we having a shutdown? It was funny how it really was. Yeah. They were the same individual or both ends of the spectrum in all sports, I think. But I'm with you. I remember when we shut down and we were in the middle of watching your alma mater play basketball. And the last basketball game I saw live was Vanderbilt on that Wednesday night.
It wasn't the best performance.
Well, but it didn't matter. I enjoyed it. I didn't know how much I enjoyed it looking back on it. But we were taking a pause, though. And I really thought, you know, this stinks. We're going to, you know, lose the SEC tournament. We're maybe miss a couple, two, three games. Yeah. Maybe we make them up. Maybe we don't. Yeah. But in my mind, it was, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks on the high end. And then 20 hours into it, you're like, all right, well, maybe it's a month. And then it was maybe through June 30. But the whole time, that's where I give the league so much credit. They kept us all together. We were talking every single day about, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. It might be 10 cities, might be 4, might be 6, might be 2, might be 1. But I really admired how they built it. And every once in a while, when we all come together, we're going to do some pretty cool things.
Now, along those lines, the communication, that gives everybody confidence that for next season, the right decisions are going to be made. And I know, as you said, with David Kells, you got 3 dates. You're planning for a lot of different ways this thing can go. But what could you tell us about just how the planning stages are coming right now with thinking ahead to trying to start next year? Because I know there's a lot of different options there.
Yeah, so when you're planning a whole new season and not just the resumption of the current season, you do have to put a pin in the wall and say, okay, here is ideally opening day. Because from there, you have to go backwards on everything. You got to plan your training camp, maybe a rookie camp, maybe a prospect camp, because we didn't have either this year. And then you have to get back into free agency and, you know, different, you know, arbitration filings or, you know, team buyouts. And you just keep pushing it backwards. And then you hit the Stanley Cup, and then you push it forwards. And that's why it was important to put that December 1 pin in the wall. But, you know, when we start is when we start. I think you're right. The confidence comes from, we built what was right when it was right, and we started, and it really has, you know, knock on wood, I don't see any, but things have gone really, really well, you know, for our league and for the NBA, who followed very similar suit to us.
Was there a lot of communication between the two leagues? It seems like there was.
Yeah, there really was.
With basic concepts.
And I think all the leagues came together, and we were all working with different levels of government, you know, from the federal government right on down to our own municipalities and bringing it together. From an industry standpoint, we worked with probably 45 teams around the country, mostly almost all the hockey teams, a lot of NBA teams, and then a few NFL teams and Major League Baseball teams. And then David Kells ran a state coalition that he still is running, where we pulled together all venues of a certain size and above to say, okay, we don't know anything yet, but when we do start coming back, let's all have similar procedures, similar operations. This way we're making it easy for all of our fans, and we're learning from each other. That's the first time I remember us all doing that, you know, from Memphis to Knoxville, Chattanooga, and everywhere in between, we're all kind of doing things in a very similar manner.
Talking to Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, here with us at Pete and Terry's Tavern. It's
why
good to
smirking,
see you again,
man.
Because it's good
I'm
to see
nervous.
You.
Like, what's
good
coming?
To see you. No, I'm not going to hit
third
you.
Bloody Mary of the morning. Yeah. Terry's is open.
Yeah, I'm going to come in hot, you know. But
no, wait a minute. He threw out retirement yesterday
for me
from no. him for the bar scene. According to him, he threw out the word retirement. I don't know how much he meant. I don't know if he's caught up in the moment. We laughed. I don't know. I don't know
if
how
I can give him some advice, then, if he wants to stick with that retirement, he should really filter his social media a little bit better. So,
why do you say that?
Well, it appears as if maybe your retirement is slightly exaggerated.
I mean, the pictures are the pictures.
All right, you're retiring like Larry Zonka.
Like,
you know,
now, he's going through his head.
I did tweet that out. I forgot.
Did I tweet me doing that?
No, you have friends that will take pictures and tag you all over.
Yeah, see, now that's the problem.
Yeah.
they sell me out. you guys have done a lot through all of this. One thing that's been kind of cool is seeing some of the sales that, like, Nashville locker room and the team store that you guys have done to keep the gear, keep people getting gear, whether it's Winter Classic gear or new gear. I think that's been really cool to see that over the last few weeks of the different sales that you guys have done just to keep the merchandise out there.
50% off all last
weekend. See, there you go. You guys are the best commercial we have.
50% off.
But
I was looking.
Stop looking and start buying. How many percent does it have to be off before you buy?
I want the Nashville Strong shirt, but they don't have 3XL. I'm just saying. They don't have a 3XL available.
Well, I'll get right on that.
I want a strong shirt.
We could change the size, too, but that's a you issue. But no, to your point, Chase, for us, it's been really important to try to stay out there as much as possible. From our community, you know, side, that group just does an incredible job. Monday, we're still hosting the Brent Peterson tournament that we didn't think was going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, we're really, really fortunate. First Horizon stepped in and said, no, let's do it. We know it's going to be very different. We're out every single day, different organizations from that standpoint. And then from a branding standpoint, you want to make sure that logo is still flying out there. You know, every team that was in the bubble thought they'd be playing, you know, the final weekend of hockey. We were one of them, too. And we were planning on having yard signs and banners covering throughout, you know, from Paducah to Birmingham and everywhere in between. Obviously, that didn't work out that way, but it doesn't change what we do. You still want to, you know, be out there, celebrate. We got a Titans game Monday night. Doubleheader of the big blue teams for the Giants and Titans. So the more sports that are going, the more chance we get to celebrate our city and what's happening. So,
how much have you gotten to work with Bert Nyhill over at the Titans since he took his post? And I know that the different organizations like to work together.
Yeah, you know, it's always been an important part for me to try to bring the organizations together. I was very fortunate in Tampa. We worked really closely with the Buccaneers. We went from being the two worst teams in sports to winning a Super Bowl and Stanley Cup in back-to-back years and celebrating each other the whole way, which was really, really cool. Remember back in 2016, we started working more closely directly with their players and opening our games up to them a little bit more. And we all remember, you know, guys, you know, drinking beer out of the catfish and just that fun. Yeah. And then to have our players go over there and plant the spear, or the sword, rather, was pretty cool. You know, the imagery of our entire team being there together. And then as we're working together now on some of the, you know, COVID recovery side, it's been very important. But having Burke being named the CEO, I think, was tremendous, because I probably worked more with him and Gil than anyone else. Just we'd see each other at different events around town. I remember we spent a lot of time the night of the MLS kickoff party that was over at the Bridge Building. I didn't see you guys there, by the way, but it was a great party. Bud was
there.
Oh.
Well, we weren't.
Well, you retired from the bar scene. But anyway, it was one of
I was here, actually.
Didn't we have a game?
We were here.
No, we did not have a game. It was a road game.
No, we were here.
I think we had a game.
Oh, the first
here.
Game. I'm talking about the kickoff party when they unveiled.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was the night before the game.
Oh, okay.
It was a Friday night. But anyway,
whatever.
You don't want to argue with me on this, but it was a concert night here. Anyway.
That's why I was here.
Are you done, Vern? Can I answer the question? Yes. It's like Stand By Me. What was he wearing? What color shirt before he threw up? But I ended up spending most of the evening with Ian Ayers and Burke and Gil. And it was just a fun time where no one had any job, no one had any pressure. And really, since that day, you know, we talk from time to time on the phone, share a lot of emails. A lot of good wishes back and forth, and it's been really nice. So he's going to be tremendous for that franchise, I think.
You used the word creativity earlier about, you know, everything that's been going on through this. How much do you look at what another arena, and I'll use an example in Orlando, that they've reached a deal with WWE to make that, like, their hub for the Thunderdome? I know your kids like wrestling, too. So, but when you see ideas like that, do you guys get in a room and go, okay, well, that's a good one. What could we do? Because we have this building here right now that we can't use like we usually would. So what are some things that we could do?
Yeah, so even before that happens, as you're talking, you're all coming up with their ideas, and people are reaching out. You know, I thought we were going to kick off a similar thing from a concert standpoint. Unfortunately, it didn't happen when you're dealing with larger networks that aren't based here that aren't killing. But I really thought the entire month of October was going to be a series of TV show broadcasts of different musicians. Unfortunately, that fell through. We had a similar thing with WWE.
Yeah.
And then it decided to go into a hub instead of four different hubs. But it really is cool to see, and hopefully we'll see something like that soon. As you know, I love talking about things we announce.
Yes.
As opposed to what could be announced. But the idea is we're working with probably, you know, 15 different touring companies and or production groups to say, okay, if we do a limited crowd, here are the dates. If we do a full crowd, here are the dates. And it really is a matter of what could be first. And, you know, Nashville does things differently. We're not just going to do a show. It's going to be, how do we do a show that welcomes Nashville back?
Before I turn it back over to Darren, you guys do so much with the military. You do so much to honor this great country. Obviously, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention 19 years ago today and what happened to our country. I saw the picture you guys tweeted out this morning of the flag. What do you remember about that day, Sean?
You know, I was at my daughter's school this morning, and I did this voice recording walking through the day for me that day. And it was a normal day. You know, it was at the Ice Palace or St. Pete Times Forum in Tampa. We had Janet Jackson that night. We had media days going on. Our training facility camp just opened. And I was on a conference call. Two people in my office, and we were on the Pistons at the time. So I was on the phone with two people from the Pistons. And one of them said, hey, turn your TV on. Something's going on. Turn my TV on. What's wrong with this moron? I just want to go out the phone with you because they were our overlords. And turned the TV on and was about to ask them what channel, and obviously you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Saw the tower smoking, couldn't figure out what happened until, you know, they saw the second plane fly into it. Hang up immediately, try to figure out what's going on, and everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. Called my mother immediately in New York, just as if she was going to know. You know, you're 30 miles from the epicenter. And then obviously, you know, the next thing happened. It took a while to get a hold of her. My son was in kindergarten. I can remember calling my wife. I don't know why you think this way. She said, I'm already on my way there. And then I'm going to the bank to get money. Because you just didn't know
right. What
was happening. It's the only time in my life, and probably very similar to you guys, you were probably in kindergarten or
eighth
something.
Grade.
But the uncertainty of what was happening was so bizarre. And over the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours, you know, shows were canceling around really the Western Hemisphere. And we had Janet Jackson that night, and she was in town. They did a pre-rig the night before. They did a VIP party. She was staying in her hotel, and it's the only time in my life a performer reached out to me to say, what do you think we should do? And at the time, you don't know what's happening next. You know what I mean? You really don't. And at the time, you know, Tampa was is the head of SOCOM, you know, so the theater in the Mideast, and right away people thought the Mideast. So Tampa right away went on a different level of alert of a lot of different cities. And I remember I said, you know, Ms. Jackson, we need to cancel the show now. And you need to go wherever you think you want to go, because I don't think you're going to be able to get out of Tampa anytime soon. And it was the most surreal moment talking to this mega superstar. Remember, 19 years ago, there were a few bigger than Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of respect for her because she wanted to do what was right for her fans, for the city, for the area. It was just a lot of surreal moments for all of us, I think. But for me, the very, very worst thing, twofold. The pride that we all had in the country as we quickly kind of snapped back together and were a little bit kinder to each other, a little bit more pride in our country. Our differences weren't so great, and we were willing to talk about them at the time. But we came together as one. But I remember talking to my sister, who's a teacher. Now she's a principal. And she sent me a picture, and it was of a train station. Now, on Long Island, you know, train stations, you know, 5 in the morning fill up, and at 7 p.m. they're empty. It's this weirdest thing. So you get to park there when you go out and do things. But they're ghost towns. You play wiffle ball in there and football in there at night because they were lit. And she said every parking lot on her way home, she passed 3 train stations, still had 15, 20, 25, 30 cars that were never going to get picked up.
Yeah.
In her classrooms, you had a parent or two parents that were never coming home. And it's hard to take those lives that were lost and you put them in that car, you put them in that classroom, and it, I don't know, for me anyway, it came crashing hard. I'm sure we all had those moments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it it changed how we all related to each other. Unfortunately, I think that wore off after X period of time. I argue with people all the time. Some people say it lasted 3 years or 5 years, 6 months. But it was a weird thing to have this national tragedy snap us all back together again. With COVID, I think it's a little bit different because it's been over 6 months. But similar things are coming out of it, I think. People look at each other a little bit differently.
Yep.
And we all have a different level of responsibility. But, you know, when you look back on that day 19 years ago, you look back on December 7th, and we know what our parents and grandparents talked about when you remember exactly where you were and what you were doing. It's sad.
I mean, wasn't the president down in Florida at a school?
He was
talking?
He was at, I think, kindergarten or first grade class. And they caught him in the middle of it. And just, I know he took a lot of heat and abuse over it. Or his lack of reaction immediately. But I think he got hit with the same thing we all did. This,
wait, what?
What the heck?
I've seen interviews where he said he didn't want to show his true feelings at the time because he didn't want the whole world to see him, you know, going, what in the world is going on? And just jumping up and freaking out.
Yeah.
And like if you watch the images, he's just kind of standing there going, because the guy comes up, talks in his ear, and he's just like, you could see he's like processing, do what?
And you think about it. You're in the most innocent place in the world. You're reading a book, which is so enjoyable. We've all done it.
Right.
At a kindergarten class or first grade, whatever it was. And someone's whispering in your ear. First of all, he's thinking, why is this guy even talking to me, right?
Right.
And what he's saying, you can't comprehend that.
No.
I mean, that processing, like you said. And if you remember, he got up.
He did.
Went to another room and I'm sure got a briefing much deeper than any of us will ever know.
Right.
It was just beyond surreal. You know, we all tried to figure out where our families were. And, you know, at the time we had a couple hundred employees in the building and, you know, three or four directly affected. You want to make sure you get to them. We had one employee's parents both worked in the Pentagon. They were safe, but he didn't know that for about 10 hours.
Yeah.
Just we all have those stories and they're awful. But again, whenever tragedy happens, it's good to look back on what do we, you know, build out of that. I think we did come together as one. It'd be nice to see that a little bit more so right now.
Sean, I've been asked to do kindergarten and first grade readings, but I can't get past that level, and I don't know why. They kind of stop at first grade. I don't know what that means.
They don't ask you to read Hemingway. Nobody's ever Shakespeare.
Asked. Yeah, I don't. I think that's a hint, right? Stay once again. Stay in your lane.
That's
my lane.
Remember though, when I was a kid, I always marveled by the teacher who could read the book upside down and flip the pages.
Yeah.
First time I went to read at kindergarten, I could do that. And I'm like, no, that's a skill. And also reading the book 674 times, I think. But
maybe memorization of the book. It kind of helps, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for having us out.
Well, thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate it. And make sure you jump on that equipment sale that starts.
Yes.
Chase, I'm sure, is going to do a commercial for it because it starts soon.
Starts tomorrow, right?
As we riddled with problems. Just a forewarning now. We're doing it in ways we've never done before. Doesn't have quite the same equipment we've had in years past, but it's going to be fun. So make sure you tweet Chase if you have problems and not me.
Fair enough.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
He likes to be tagged. Yes. Tag him if you could. Sean Henry, President and CEO of the Nashville Predators. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Appreciate Sean Henry for stopping by. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. It's a gorgeous day downtown Nashville. Stop by. They are open. They are ready for business. Some patrons walking in, checking out the menu. You want to come down here, have some lunch? This is the place. We have sampled the menu, and the menu is good.
We've done more than sample.
We have.
I feel like
We've
blanketed the menu.
Maybe a strong word. But maybe blanketed. We'll go with blanketed.
We have done more than smatter Like, we've sampled everything on the menu.
We have multiple times. You have your go-to.
Yes.
Willie's definitely got the go-to.
I've got the go-to, but sometimes you got to do something different. So, yeah. I mean, we've been here that many times that you got your go-to, but then you have, like, option two, three, four.
By the way, I just put some Purell hand sanitizer on during the break, and I bring this up because it's a little two-ounce bottle, and this was just purchased because for months, and I mean months, a good while, there were certain companies, I'm like, what happened to them? Like, when's the last time you saw wet ones, you know, like those wipes? Like, when's the last time you saw the... So, there was then a time when I finally saw them again. Like, where did they all go? They disappeared. And the last company that I had on that list of where did their product go was Purell. Because I was like, I have not seen Purell on the shelves in 6 months.
It's tough.
And this was the first time I've seen it. It's a two-ounce bottle, and I got it.
All right.
Just to say I got Purell.
Well, congratulations. Because
I haven't seen it in 6 months. Yeah. But it's all serious. Like, they've been making more hand sanitizer than ever. Where did it go? Like, you never
they just ran
see
out.
It.
Yeah.
I know, but you never see it.
It was like...
I still struggle to find some of that stuff.
I've seen more and more of it.
Like, toilet papers come back around. Yeah. Paper towels have come back. Yeah. Some things have come back around. The hand sanitizer, really. But it's been all these brands you've never heard of, right? All these...
Right,
companies
people have
you've
converted.
Never,
I mean, and doing it for the right reason.
Exactly.
Converting one thing to start making more hand sanitizer, which is awesome.
But before
I've used
this,
a lot of that.
If you would have said hand sanitizer company, I would say most people, the first one you would think of
Purell
would be Purell, right? Probably.
That's why you can't find it. As soon as it's on the shelf, it's gone.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe my timing has been bad for six months because I've never
you have to time it. That's,
seen
that's
it on the shelf.
If you don't get there right when they stock it, it's gone before you get there. So,
looks like we have a guest. Malcolm Butler has just
called. Oh, okay. Sorry, we do not have the phone screen.
Yeah, I forgot that, so that's on me. Okay. I forgot to bring that today.
I didn't know. I thought that was a little bit later. He's on the line with us?
He's ready to go.
They haven't practiced yet.
Yeah, they're about to practice.
They're about to practice, so this is a pre-practice interview.
We're talking about our life's problems, and we got a great quarterback. We got a big member of the Titans on. Let's go.
Malcolm Butler is indeed on the line with us on the Friday before the opening to their season on Monday night in Denver. Malcolm, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Well, thanks for joining us. What has this camp been like for you guys? Obviously, nothing's been normal in 2020, but what's it been like as a player?
It's been different, you know, getting your nose rubbed every morning and sitting 6 feet away from everybody every day, you know, being spaced out. But other than that, it's the same grind, the same focus, and just ready. Everybody here ready to work, man, just like me.
You know, it's funny that you brought that up. I mean, it's not funny because I could tell in your voice you don't enjoy it, but it's part of coming to work every day and watching Hard Knocks. You know, the Chargers and the Rams were the subject of this year's Hard Knocks, and they were talking, the players were talking about getting tested every day and having that thing jammed up their nose. So, obviously, most people find that uncomfortable. I'm assuming by the tone in your voice, you find it uncomfortable too?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But if we want to play this game, we got to do what it takes. So, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to play ball. You know, obviously, I missed a half a year, so I'm willing to do whatever to get back on the field, and I'm pretty sure everybody else is too. So we just doing what we got to do to keep everybody safe and, you know, just going by the protocols. And other than that, man, we're just here ready to grind, man. Everybody ready for ball to be back.
Well said. You led me right into where I was going next. How tough was that for you? On one hand, you're thrilled to watch your teammates have the success at the end of the year and make a run to the doorstep of getting into the Super Bowl in the AFC Championship game. But on the other hand, it had to have been tough as a player because you want to be out there and you want to be a part of it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It was bittersweet. You know, I wanted to be there and contribute with my team, and just like any other player. But, you know, things happen. You know, you're going to have to face adversity in this contact sport. So, it is what it is, but, you know, I'm very proud of my teammates, you know, how far we went. And it was very enjoyable to watch, but at the same time, knowing that I wanted to be out there. And, yeah, you know, I wanted a taste of those Patriots, a taste of those Ravens. But, you know, those guys got the job done for me. And, like, this is crazy business. So next man up. And, you know, I'm just glad I can be there to support them. And I'm glad to be back on the field this year to try it again.
Well, your former teammate with the Titans at least represented the former Patriot guys in that Patriot game in Logan Ryan. He had the big pick at the end, so that must have made you proud. At least he was able to do something on your behalf.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, most definitely. He most definitely said he kept that ball. And, yeah, man, it's crazy how you go against some – Your team that you used to play for, and you know, you make big plays against them, but you know, you expect to do that against any other team. So no matter if you play with them or not, but he most definitely went out there and got the job done, and I most definitely got some joy out of it.
Tell us what the follow-up is. I mean, you've been on a lot of winning teams. Obviously, you had success in New England, and watching this team have success last year, the follow-up to that successful season, whether you win the Super Bowl or, in this case, you make that magical run to the AFC Championship game, you finish on a high note, is it a different vibe in camp the next year as opposed to, you know, unfortunately being maybe one and done in the playoffs or missing the playoffs?
You know, we try not to, you know, talk about last year, but the standards are high, man. The standards are high. You know, if I can't recall, the Titans hasn't been that far in a good while, if I think I'm right. But, you know, the standards are already set to be high, and we're trying to go past what we did last year. So we're trying to achieve more than what we did last year. So, you know, it's more competitive within the team, and everybody's just working. We're expecting to win. You know, everyone expecting us to win since we went on that little streak last year. So we just continue to work, coming in, putting our head down, work, grind, doing everything we asked to be told, doing everything we asked to do. And, yeah, man, it's just a grind, man. I just come in every day, work hard, and I'm pretty sure everybody else doing the same thing. And, yeah, the standards are high, and we got a target on our back. You know, we went pretty far. You know, a lot of people didn't think we'll go that far. So, you know, you just got to keep amping it up.
I'm talking to Malcolm Butler, defensive back for the Tennessee Titans. They open up Monday night in Denver. And, Malcolm, you know, you're used to getting your body ready for the beginning of a season. You have a different routine than you've had before with no preseason games, et cetera, maybe not as many practices and pads as you're accustomed to. But you as a veteran, do you feel ready? Does your body feel ready to go for real on Monday?
Most definitely. I think it feels ready. You know, I practice real hard, and you know, when they got special teams or something going on, and I'm not on the field. You know, I just do some sprints on myself by myself, or you know, grab one of the rookies to, you know, run with me to make sure I'm getting the extra condition, because we is in Denver, Mile High, and you know, the air is real thin up there, so you got to be prepared for that. But other than that, you know, we missed the preseason games. You know, they kind of get the bubble guts up out of your stomach. So that feeling probably still there because we didn't have preseason games. But other than that, yeah, I think we're ready. We're prepared. You know we got to be in shape, and we got to be ready to roll. And we haven't been, you know, doing any physical tackling. So, yeah, but I feel like we're ready.
Malcolm, you just touched on something that is a little wrinkle on top of everything else, the adjusting you've had to do, and that's your first game in Denver. How have your experiences been in Denver? How much does it hit you, the mile high, the altitude, and all that?
To be honest, I really can't tell a difference. I really can't tell the difference. I'm pretty sure it is, but I really couldn't tell. Last time we went up there, it was a lot of talk about the air and stuff like that, but I really didn't feel it, you know. I was just out there ready to compete and do my job. But, you know, you also got to prepare for it. Maybe I probably prepared for it so much, you know, that's why I didn't feel it. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I feel the same way because that's what we've been doing. That's what I've been doing. So It's going to be what it's going to be.
Malcolm, there's so much talk about, you know, different. You lose Dean Pease, you have a little bit of a different scheme, but you still have a lot of familiar faces in the defensive coach's room. So what's the adjustment been like? Do you feel like everybody's on the same page and ready to go?
Oh, most definitely. I feel like everybody on the same page to go. You know, you got coaches and people that are going to draw plays up for you and things like that, but it's all up to all the 22 players that's on the field, 11 players that's on the field that communicate with each other and play hard for each other. You can draw up any play on a piece of paper, but the players out there are going to make that play come to life. So we know that, and we just got to go out there and execute. You know, no matter who's the coordinator, the coach, or whatever, those things do matter, but it's all up to those 11 guys on the field to play for each other and with each other and communicate. So, yeah, there's that.
Titans cornerback Malcolm Butler is here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. So I got to ask you about one of your teammates, and Kevin Byard. I mean, this guy makes plays on the field. He's a leader in the locker room, and now he's delivering his own kid. How crazy was it to hear about that Kevin Byard was able to bring his child into the world?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, man. I didn't believe when he told me that. I didn't believe him, but once I seen the little article and they talking about quarterback and center exchange, I said, "Wow!" So, man, that, like he can do it all, man. And I see he really needed a mask. He probably had some gloves too.
Absolutely.
But, that's great, man. That's great, man. That's once in a lifetime experience. I'm not saying that I want to experience it, but that's a great job by him, and I'm glad they had a healthy young boy.
You've played with him now, going into your third season together. What have you seen growth wise out of him, both as a player and a leader?
Man, Kevin Byard actually is kind of ahead of his time. You know what I mean? He's a leader as a young guy. You know, I was, 27, and, you know, I didn't see any of the things. Well, I didn't do any of the things that he was, you know, doing. He was a leader. You know what I mean? He's more of a vocal leader. You know, I'm like more physical leader. You know, I like to go out there and play hard and, you know, lead with my actions. But he does both, and you know, he's a great leader, man, and me and him actually we bumped heads a little bit. We was running sprints, and I asked one of the players, "Was this the last sprint we got?" And one of them said, "Yeah," and I was like, "Yes." And he was like, "Man, you scared of work?" And I was like, "I ain't scared of no goddamn work, man." So he a great leader, man, and he gonna make sure he pushed me and. He gonna push everybody on this team, but I'm glad to have him as a safety behind me, and I'm glad to have him as a leader on my team.
Malcolm Butler is with us. So Jadeveon Clowney signs last week. He is now a member of the Tennessee Titans. This is a guy that's he's a force in this league, but now you have him on your defense. How excited are you to have Jadeveon as a teammate?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited. As long as he, you know, make a couple of those tackles for me that come my way, those tosses and things like that, we good. But I'm glad to have him on my team, man. He's a great guy. You know, I met him once before a couple of years ago. He's a great guy, and we glad to have him, you know, to help get some pass rush or some run stops. You know, we need all the help we can get to be better as a team. So everyone glad to have him. He's around here smiling, talking with everyone. It seems like he's already been here for a couple weeks, so we're glad to have him on board.
Malcolm, I have a fun one for you as we let you go. Our morning show does a segment where they ask like a this or a that type question. And this morning they asked if you could have a running back from any era, ball on the one, fourth down to win the game, who would you hand it off to? And our producer Marquise Munson said Marshawn Lynch. And then referenced that probably should have happened a few years ago. Would you agree with that?
Nah. They did the right thing. They did the right thing. They did the right thing. We had the box loaded. You had a rookie at corner. They did the right thing to throw it. But if I had to pick a guy, man, I'm gonna go way back. I give him Mike Allston. I give him a Derrick Henry.
Wow. Okay. great. Hey, great answer, by the way. Thanks for doing this. Best of luck. Go get the season started right. Go get a win Monday night. We'll all be watching, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Malcolm. That is Malcolm Butler. Really appreciate him joining us. They're going to have practice a little bit here very soon. In fact, aren't they going into the bubble today?
I think they
They have moved it into the bubble in preparation for the Broncos. Late kickoff on Monday night. That'll do it for hour number one. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.